don't get it, boy.
How did the men themselves respond to, I mean, before they're injured, they're in a terrible, tense situation because they're in combat?
Well, I've been in aircraft. These are aircraft people.
Absolutely.
I've had it on the ground with people as well.
And this has been going on for weeks or months or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they've got this extra trauma to cope with that they've been injured.
Yeah.
I mean, how do they manage to stay sane?
Well, most people are saying you're all right, yeah. That is what drives people insane, not injury, no. I've had people with the most terrible burns and things, and I've dressed them with gentian violet and things, and used to get cold, like cold tea, but tannic acid jelly, but cold, but it had to be, you don't really need to bloody well have it purified, but in those cases it was aesthetic, you know, it had to be clean, but you would dress them with that. Of course, today they would use it, cold bloody ice and anything to cool you down, because the worst part of being burned is the shock to your system, and all your blood rushes to your spleen, and you get you not only get dehydration on one hand, but you also get loss of blood pressure, which means you become very cold, you can get pneumonia very quickly. All these things are, but you learn them and you know what to do, and that's why in our Friesstrasse we had huge, with the first electric blankets I suppose ever used, we used then, because the one thing you had to get a patient, especially if you've been an hour from the airfield or from whatever place to get to, I mean, in the field in France in 40, I mean, we had a lot of injured people. I was in the ADS, which advanced dressing station, we were with whatever, we didn't have any tanks, we had some French tanks, but we had, not that I was interested in that side of it, but we had things that happened to people on the field, and you were there maybe 100 yards away, and the call was, you know, a squad quick to get, we've got a man, a bullet in his brains or one in his ear or whatever, or smashed legs. One day I had a chap, a 9mm German bullet, it comes through here, it had gone right through here, through this arm, out through here somewhere, and out of his shoulder blade and through his buttocks. Now you can't believe that, but he was in bloody agony with the hand, it had shattered these bones here, you see, and he was in bloody agony, yeah. But he lived. We got him to, you know, from our ADS back to headquarters, like a, which is a field hospital. But really, he was fine, and the last report, you know, we always knew if a chap was going to make it, you knew by the amount of... Fortunately, where it went through, it went outside the lung, although it went through the thoracic cavity, through his shoulder, and out through his scapula, or shoulder blade, out to that. It didn't damage his lungs, you know, which it, I mean, he had some hemorrhaging, but nothing... You, sometimes it was shit lucky. Another time I had a chap, had three Bren bullets, that was on an exercise, that was in Northumbria, went through his bladder like that. He ran, instead of sticking with the tapes when you're on an exercise, these are live ammo exercises. We had one chap had his arm blown right off, that was in a, another one hit by a shell which fell, there must, somebody ranged in wrong, but, which they shouldn't have done, but another one they had a shell didn't go off, the officer gave the order to open the breech, which he shouldn't have done. You're supposed to leave a shell so long if the charge doesn't go off, because there's a danger of the cordite that's already ignited, but it may, under certain circumstances, only burn an area like that. And then suddenly, if you let it to the air, the oxygen, bang, and it goes. And of course, the blast comes backwards then, and it blew this chap's arm off, and we rushed straight back by ambulance, me with him all the way. You know, I put a tourniquet on, and but what it did, it hit his eye, the part of the charge blinded him, he had the cordite in his eye. And he was unconscious, Tom. We got him back and straight into theatre. And a Belgian surgeon did the arm, but he cleaned the eyes well. But he said, oh, what a shame. But the chap never made it. He died within a, sort of about an hour and a half. But it was sad.
You said that you could tell whether they were going to make it or not. How could you tell?
Well, loss of blood pressure is one of the things that quickly that shows. You know, even when people are old and dying, you know that, don't you? You tell that, yeah. I've got pals coming here, so I'm writing, you know, feel my pulse. Here I am. In fact, when you knock, I thought it was Derek who's going to have a heart op, he's going to have a valve replacement, you know. And it's only that, I mean, it's 50 years ago I'm talking about these things happen. I mean, the chaps who were in tanks and guns have another story about, oh, you know, there was a Tiger tank here and that, and one hit them, or the next tank, or three tanks in a row blown up, and they've gone away with it, because when a tank gets hit, you know, they're full of, those days they were full of high-octane fuel because they all used aircraft engines. And remember that if they got hit, the damage from anti-tank shells, they fragmentate. They're built with special metals that the core is very, very hard brittle metal. And as soon as they break through the armour of the tank, because they've got three kinds of metal, the first one is a cushion around like that, flattens. The second inside that is a bit harder and it breaks the metal. And of course it can't expand that way because it's got this cushion of the softer metal around it. So the inertia, mind you, it all happens in a split second, obviously. But what happens then, the central core breaks through then, but it fragmentates and it hits the fuel lines, the ammunition that's in there in the shells, and all the people in there. Remember, a tank has got plenty of room in it. So in 1 second, it's a blazing inferno, as well as for a split second, the fragmentation pellets, they're going all ways like this. They cut everything to bits, you know. And tanks are gone. Once a tank has been hit, if it hit in the tracks or something, it's okay. But if it's hit anywhere inside, it breaks through, then there's no hope for those inside. You know? So that's, people don't realise, they think a tank, there's nothing safe in a tank if it gets hit, not with a modern projectile. Yeah, I mean, you even saw that in the Gulf War, and the pictures, tanks blazing there, there and there. The people inside, there'd be very little left of them, burnt, whatever was left, a bit of fat and a few bones, possibly. But there's not much left when a tank gets hit. Modern tanks are diesel, mind you, but it still burns very rapidly, diesel. Yeah. But war doesn't do anything, only kill people. It doesn't solve anything. You look at anywhere you like. The war I was in, 54 million people died. Didn't alter anything. The Jews, it was done to save the Jews initially. It wasn't. Some of my best friends are Jews, don't get me wrong. Not rich Jews, they're poor Jews like me. I'm not a Christian.